understanding, Marla?
Right, that's correct.
Let's move forward, please. Section 4.
And then we're on Section 3.
Section 3.
There's no change in Section
4.
Section 4 is the language on line 17, quote, subject to the provisions of AS 2230.060B, is new, right, Andy? And the reason for that?
Well, that's simply because we've revised the...
it's a conforming amendment, right?
Yes, 060B now has the reference to minority reports. And,
okay, so the Section 5 is... now we're starting to get into a change. If the members would look here at the language in the State Affairs Committee substitute
section,
we are talking about mainly Section 5 of the bill, and also, where's the minority report also mentioned in here, Andy or Marla? Pardon me?
It's Section 7 of your working draft?
No, I'm talking about the State Affairs CS.
All right.
The section. It's
Section 5.
Yeah, see. That's the only place a minority report is mentioned in this. Is that correct?
That's right.
That's correct.
Okay. What the State Affairs did was it took a couple of different amendments and tried to meld them together. The State Affairs Committee adopted two inconsistent amendments, but it came out with this. And it says that any member of the commission who believes the commission failed to impose a sufficiently severe disciplinary sanction may submit a report recommending a more severe measure. And this goes to the Chief Justice, the Attorney General, and the chairs of the Judiciary Committee, so it becomes public. And this basically allows any member to breach the confidentiality and submit a report to the legislator who's under no obligation of confidentiality. And in fact, that may be a public document. And that's notwithstanding that the commission votes to make these things confidential. And that's a very regressive provision in my opinion. What we've done in here, Mr. Chairman, is to say, and I'm now looking at my proposed CS, on page 4, line 14, that upon the filing of the formal...
Section 6, sir.
Yes, sir. Upon the filing of the formal charges, after that occurs, the following things are public. The charges, the formal hearing, the commission's ultimate decision, and then at that point there can be a minority report if they want. So, then also...
Why do you have the deliberations of the commission concerning the case are confidential after the formal charges are filed?
Yes, good question. Ms. Greenstein, even after formal charges are filed, on page 4, lines 14 through 16 of the proposed committee substitute, it says the deliberations are confidential. Why is that? What's the basis for that?
It's consistent with the original House Bill version 2. It's line 8 and 9 of page 3 of the original House Bill.
That's not the question.
The purpose behind that is consistent with how courts operate. For example, the Supreme Court, you have a public hearing, and then the court goes back into chambers and argues the pros and cons, who they believe, who they don't believe, the merits of each side. It comes up with a consensus of what the formal decision should look like. It's been held to be a protected, confidential proceeding in government because it encourages the free and open debate that's necessary to come to a formal decision.
Mr. Chairman, as far as I know, I'm not sure how agencies work, but I think that most agency quasi-judicial decisions, I'm not sure.
I think they're open, actually.
Yeah, they're actually
they're open. And what about the evidence that will be considered? Is that after the formal charges are filed, is that public or private?
That would be public because that would occur in the hearing itself. The hearing is public and the evidence is presented at the hearing, so all the evidence would be public.
Okay, well, I'd like to hold out this clause even after formal charges are filed and get, just do a little thinking about that. We're going to try to move this bill pretty soon, not today, but like in the next hearing. But
then, Mr. Chairman?
I mean, if you have some arguments to raise on that.
I just want to go on to the next section.
Yeah, okay.
The next section is just a conforming section and to this language up above in Section 6. And you can see the difference between...
Sorry.
I'm about to lose my head here. the difference between the Section 5 of the State Affairs CS and ours, the minority reports just track what we're doing in the line above. And then finally, Section 8, there's no change.
Okay, then the only thing that I see that is really left to us, if Mr. Gruenberg will go along with Mr. Martin and me on deferring on the procedures until
you bet
later,
you bet.
Is this language adequate? Who is retired and serving pro tem? Is that all we need?
No. Let him work on it.
So we need to get a formal amendment on that, okay? Now, is there any discussion about lines 15 and 16 of page 4?
You don't need that quick.
Is there any reason, Jan, why, excuse me, Marla, why we need that confidentiality of deliberations?
I would really strongly argue for it. What it allows for is the commissioners to be among themselves, both to deal with the veracity of the witnesses, the various legal theories that have been presented, the validity of the presentations by the attorneys, and just gives them a very free forum to discuss what has happened in the hearing before them, and then come to a consensus as to what the formal decision looks like. I'm afraid that if it were open, that some of that discussion would just be more inhibited and may not lead to fruitful final decision as the current situation allows. The other point I'd like to make is a lot happens between formal charges and the hearing itself. There's a whole process of pretrial discovery. We're presented with various motions on behalf of the judge, and special counsel presents counter documents to those motions. What this also allows is deliberations on all those interim proceedings to also be confidential.
Does anybody wish?
In other words, the documents themselves, according to everything, will be public because the proceedings are public, but the deliberations on the merits of the various motions and various sub-issues that are going on can be addressed by the commission.
Does any member of the committee wish to challenge that point, Mr. Gruenberg?
No, I'm sort of thinking about something else.
Okay, then let's just hang on one second.
Mr. Martin's about to leave. Let me just do one thing. Mr. Martin will work with you, the staff and I. Ms. Yeah. Greenstein, Mr. Martin's concern is basically that if a person has been convicted of a crime and there's a proof of conviction that's presented to the commission, then it's not just a mere allegation. And his concern is that we technically draft this thing to simply indicate that...
Mr. Chairman, if the person's convicted of a crime, that's already public information and not germane to the statute.
But she says it needs to be cleaned up.
She did say that.
Okay, guys, I apologize. If you have amended language...
I was just going to say to Marla,
okay.
Let's work right on that, so Representative
okay.
Martin...
My apologies, I understand. Then, we're done with lines 15 through 17 of page 4. To the best of my knowledge, unless a decision is reached between, I'll say, the commission, who is sponsoring the bill in a manner of speaking, and the court system, who has raised the issue, that you want to see it addressed in this bill, I'm going to... Again, I don't want to be perceived as suggesting that anybody should deal unfairly with the justices. So,
if let's you want work to, on that.
I think it would be more prudent to work on it in a different bill, but if you all agree you want to move forward, we can do that. But pending that, we've got two items that need to be given to the committee. I would very much appreciate it if I could have them in my hands tomorrow and move this bill on Friday. Those would be the amendment language for the retired judges serving pro tem, and any amendment that you and Jan, Marla, agree on regarding judges where the complaint is as a result of a conviction. And I'm not sure what you're looking for there, but if you could get that to me within the next 24 hours, I'd appreciate it. Unless there are other business to come before the committee, I'd like to thank Ms. Strandberg and Ms. Greenstein and Mr. Gruenberg and Mr. Martin and Mr. Hemingway and Mr. Caden and Mr. Gall and, of course, Mr. Davis.
Yes.
And where is our...
Sheila.
And Sheila.
And Ms. Anger.
How about?
Shogun.
And Sheila. And of course,
Tyler Swackhammer.
Tyler Swack.
Are we adjourned?
Yes. We're adjourned.
Good.
Thank you.
Can I turn that off?
And we
thanks
are
a lot,
out of here.
So anyway...